Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
ACC conference reportedly also going to a conference-only schedule. They joined the Big Ten. Is that two or three dominoes that have fallen in college athletics? I give the Ivy League. I'll give the Ivy League some credit. I put the Ivy League in charge. Apparently, they're leading the way, and the rest of college athletics looking over, going, "Okay, smart kids aren't playing. We're not going to play either." But they are going to play. So far, they're just saying no non-conference games. And I laugh at the people who are going, "Oh, this is going to cause so much problem with the group of five schools that are going to have to negotiate, buyouts or sue because they didn't get their payday." Ultimately, that is a consideration that the major college football conferences are making. And by the way, those $500,000 checks pale in comparison to the multi-million dollar endeavor that a college football season is. Remember, the Big Ten Conference, football-only revenue, last fiscal year, $1 billion. Okay, they're not going to flinch at having to pay out somebody and buy somebody out of a game. Jeremy Darlow is our next guest. He's a brand consultant. Big news today out of Oregon State is Oregon State is contracting with Darlow. They're going to have him on campus working with their athletes. Darlow is joining us now. What are you going to be doing with Oregon State?
Well, I'm going to be teaching the student-athletes of the women's basketball team how to build a brand and a reputation that hopefully sets them up for success in life after sports.
What's the genesis of this? Do they hear you on this radio show and say, "We got to have Darlow on," or had you been working, consulting, maybe behind the scenes with them before this?
Well, I think all of my success starts with our talks over the radio, John, first and foremost.
You bet.
I've been working on this for quite some time. You know, it's been about a decade now. I've written three books on the subject, and I was the head of brand marketing for football and baseball at Adidas. You know, so it's been a long time coming. The course itself took a couple of years to put together, but now it's out there, and we're just trying to get as many kids to have the opportunity as possible.
Let's talk a little bit about like the value of that, because we have seen the individual athlete's brand become a bigger thing. I know that on social media, you're constantly preaching that athletes, hey, athletes, you're in charge of your own brand. I mean, that is a refrain that I've seen from you 100 times. When did this sort of emerge for you? Is it social media related? Is it just the times? Where does it come from?
Well, in my time in the sports industry, specifically at Adidas, you know, I got to work with a lot of big names. And the thing that I realized at that level is even the most successful athletes do not know, in most cases, what they want to do after they're done, you know, after they're done playing sports. And, you know, let alone having to deal with the people that are around them that are trying to take and take, and, you know, they see dollar signs in their eyes when they associate themselves with these athletes. You know, not having a plan for when you take that jersey off, that could be kind of an earth-shattering moment for a person. You know, your identity goes out the window. So I wrote my second book, Athletes or Brands 2, based on that concern that I had for the people that I work with. And this course is just an extension of that, you know, especially for a college athlete that gets to play in front of thousands of people, but 98% of these kids don't play professional sports. So they're going to be trying to get jobs just like everybody else once they graduate. And if they don't have a plan, you know, they're going to feel lost. And I want to sort of help solve that.
Jeremy Darlow with us, brand consultant. If you're just tuning in, he's going to be working with Oregon State athletes. How does that start? Is it a one-on-one conversation with individual athletes? Is it a group conversation? Is it both?
Yeah, we'll do both. I mean, we'll kind of you play it by ear in a lot of ways. You know, I think there's going to be some kids that are more excited about it and some kids that aren't, and that's fine. You know, it's just like anything in education. You know, certain contingents in the classroom are going to be excited and some aren't. And for those that are excited about it, that want to take the course, it's not required. That's one thing that I tell everybody. This is not required. You know, I just want to have the tool available for the kids. So once I get down to Corvallis, you know, I think I'll probably start one-on-one, get a gauge for the interest from every student athlete, and then we'll go from there. You know, it's really going to be up to the kids how much depth they want to go into.
Jeremy, for individual listeners who are listening, if an athlete has a brand, does everybody have a brand? I mean, is it like Oprah's audience? You could throw a dart into the crowd and everybody's got a story?
Absolutely. I tell everybody that I work with, a brand is no different than a reputation. Whether you're an accountant or a college basketball player, we all have brands, and it's on all of us to stand out, to differentiate ourselves, to build a resume, to build a reputation that puts us on a path to succeed. You know, that's capitalism, right? We are our own brands, and we have to manage them as such.
The idea that, you know, you mentioned something earlier, like most athletes don't think about what they want to do after they get done playing. Do you have to know that answer in order to sort of formulate where you want to steer the brand or what your objectives are? Or do you at least loosely need to know what you want to do? Because I think there are a lot of people out there that relate with college kids that go, hey, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 2 years.
Yeah. Well, that's the first phase of the course. And I do think it's critical to figure that out. And it's a big reason why I put the course together. You know, I was working with an NFL team a couple of years back, and, you know, they were on their way to the Super Bowl that year, and they brought me in to work with their rookies and to teach their rookies how to build a plan, because they knew full well they had 20 rookies in camp. About 6 or 7 of them would actually make the team. They wanted to help the rest of them set themselves up for success. And the thing that was crazy was the first question I asked every one of those kids was, if you weren't playing football, what would you want to do? Not what would you do, not what did you major in college, but what would you actually want to do? And I'm telling you, John, 75%, at least 75% didn't have an answer. And in most cases, they said, all I know is football, you know, and that's what breaks my heart, is we have to teach these kids that they're more than athletes. We have to teach them that there's more to life than throwing a football around or shooting a basketball. And it's about 40 years. It's not about the next 4.
Jeremy Darlow is our guest. For those of you just tuning in, Oregon State announcing today that Darlow will be working directly with the women's basketball program to help the individual athletes with sort of brand awareness and developing their own brand. And do they have to have social media to be part of that? Because I looked at Justin Herbert when he was with the Ducks, and I thought, wow, what a lost opportunity. He didn't want the noise of social media, right? He didn't want the noise of managing that because he felt like it was a distraction. But in the end, I kind of felt like, wow, missed opportunity. He leaves college and he's got no Twitter following.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a necessary evil in our world today. You know, if you want to build a brand, it would be a missed opportunity, as you said, to not use social media. That's the reality. Now, I think people are scared of it because, and there's so much backlash and there's so many trolls, you know, quote unquote, on Twitter, for instance. But at the end of the day, if all you're talking about on your social media platform is something that you're passionate about outside of sports, you're going to have no issues. You know, all I talk about, John, and you know this from following me, is brand marketing in sports specifically. I don't talk about what I ate for breakfast. I don't talk about my weekend plans. If you want to follow me, you're following me because I'm telling you how to build a brand. And if a young man or a young woman in college wants to be a graphic designer, well, great opportunity to be on Instagram and to show your work, and to not do that because you're scared of some idiot telling you that they don't like what you're doing. I mean, that's a missed opportunity. You're never going to make everybody happy, but take advantage of the tools that are in front of you so that you can set yourself up for success. That's what I tell everybody. It is a necessary evil. I'm not saying it's the greatest place to be at all times, but you can use it to your advantage.
I also think, you know, it's so interesting to sort of realize that the world that, you know, the today's college athlete is in, We have watched in the last couple of months athletes have a louder voice. We saw the football program at Oklahoma State that took notice as a running back said, hey, I'm not okay with the T-shirt my coach is wearing. Do you think most athletes are aware of the power that they wield?
No, not at all. I think they're just now realizing, and I wrote that in my second book as well, that every single athlete is an influencer. You know, I don't care if you're the best player on the team or the worst player on the team. If you put a jersey on, I don't care what team it is. I don't care what conference you're in. If you put a jersey on, there are people that look up to you, just like anything else. And you can use that influence for good. You can use it to help affect change. And you can use it for your own benefit to go out and get that dream job, you know? So I think we're just scratching the surface on educating athletes as to the power they have, not only in our world, but for their own futures.
Do the sneaker companies get it better than most? Because I've watched Nike, Adidas maybe do it, you know, probably better than most companies. But what do they understand that others don't?
Well, I think any consumer packaged goods company understands it better than the average person. I mean, that's what they work on every day is, you know, telling stories and giving people reason to go out and buy a product. And again, that's what we are. You know, it sounds harsh, but we're products. You know, if we're trying to get a job, you're trying to convince somebody to pick you up off that shelf and put you in that basket, you know, and that's the reality. But yeah, the companies get it because they work on it every single day.
Why is brand marketing important to the athlete? What if the athlete says, you know, I'm just here to play. I'm just here to, are you okay with that? Or is that an athlete who's missing an opportunity?
Well, I'm not gonna make anybody feel bad for how they want to, you know, go about their career. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's up to the individual. Like I said, I don't expect every student athlete to want to participate in the course, but there's going to be individuals that do see it as an opportunity, that do see that they can build a reputation and a resume and ultimately a brand that gets them on a path for that dream job. And that I'm happy to help those individuals, but you know, is it a missed opportunity? Yeah, of course. Of course it is. That's part of the education process, John, is we have to teach these kids at the earliest of ages that at some point you're going to have to go out and get a job. And when you do, you're going to be competing with hundreds, if not thousands of people, depending on the job you're trying to get. And it's your responsibility to stand out. It's your responsibility to be better than the next person. And the sooner you work on that, the better chance you have of landing those jobs.
We're talking to Jeremy Darlow, author, The Darlow Rules, Brands Win Championships, and Athletes Are Brands Too. When you write Brands Win Championships, what do you mean by that?
So it's funny. I actually wrote that. I started writing that book back in 2004, and that was before the Ducks were doing their thing with the uniforms and everything. It was kind of just sort of scratching the surface. And my whole outlook back then, as a recent grad, was, you know, at the end of the day, you're trying to recruit teenagers. And I was pretty close to that age still at that point. And, you know, for me, I'm looking at which jersey can I put on and feel really good about myself and think that my friends are going to feel good about that. You know, that's brand marketing. That's all brand is. It's what people think about you, you know, when you're quote unquote not in the room. And the teams that understand how to build that brand the best, in my opinion, and it's starting to play out, they're going to be the most successful on the recruiting trail, you know, because they're going to be able to convince these kids that putting that jersey on does something for them, makes them different, makes them stand out, and makes them better in a lot of ways. So again, for me, I wrote it in that book 5 years ago, the most important person on campus in an athletic department in the future, in my opinion, is going to be the person responsible for the brand, not necessarily a head coach. They might be the same, but the brand manager, brand director, whoever it may be, they're going to have a lot of power in terms of determining that success going forward.
Give us an idea, because, you know, a lot of us will follow athletes, professional and college athletes or professional and college coaches on social media. How often in your world do you find that those coaches are actually doing and running their social media accounts themselves versus maybe contracting out with somebody who's helping them with their brand?
You know, it's hit or miss. I recommend everybody handles it themselves, or at least they have their hands on it. You know, if you're just letting somebody go out there blindly to tweet for you or to post on Instagram, what happens when that person leaves? You know, that voice was theirs and they left. So now you're going to be starting from scratch and it's probably going to sound different when they're gone. So my recommendation is if you want to build a brand on Twitter, on Instagram, if you want to build a reputation through those channels, do it yourself. Or at the very least, be hand in hand with the person that's doing it for you. But I think it's a case by case basis. Everybody has their own preferences on it. A lot of coaches don't like social media. That's just the reality of it.
Jeremy Darlow, hey, I wish you the best. I think it's great what you're doing. And I think ultimately, Oregon State has got, at the forefront of this. And I expect others will do it. Is this prevalent across college athletics? And we're just finding out now because Oregon State's talking about it? Or is this fairly new movement?
So the course launched about 6 weeks ago, and we already have a bunch of programs on board, and we have announcements up through the middle of September right now. But Oregon State is the first program that will actually have me on campus in person teaching. So they are out ahead of it for sure, and they are at the forefront.
Love it. Jeremy Darlow, thank you, man. Good luck to you. Love having you on the show.
Thanks, John.
There he is, brand consultant. Follow him on Twitter, at Jeremy Darlow. You can check him out at jeremydarlow.com. The brand here on this show, we're not home of the Ducks. We're not home of the Beavers. We're not home of the Blazers. We're home of the truth. And I hope you know that. You're all welcome here, but the brand on this show is truth. We're going to talk about truth next as part of the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Leave it here. My wife will be popping into the studio at the 2 o'clock hour, but you know that because you listen to this show. And if this is the first time you're ever tuning in, I appreciate that you're here. There are no inside jokes on this show. You don't need a user's manual to be part of this show. You don't need to have studied. All you need to do is arrive here with a desperate need for to have your mind relaxed and talk about sports and non-sports and maybe inclined to think a little bit and not have to worry about the stuff that goes on in your regular life. I realize that that is the role of this show, and that's why I think this show is thriving. Part of that is evident in the segment we're about to do, the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Culligan of Oregon, I can't say enough good things about him. We had them today over at the house putting in an aqua clear water filtration and purification under sink system. If you are somebody out there that wants to get your water tested, don't just rely upon, well, it looks clear. Just have Culligan of Oregon do what they did for us. They came by, they tested our water. They can do that for you. You can, if you're concerned about the quality of your drinking water, if you're worried about what's in your drinking water, if you don't know what's in your drinking water, go to culliganoforegon.com to check that out or call them at 866-842-2244. That's 866-842-2244. Let's play.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Well, the landscape of college football is getting some shape today, but it's not the ultimate shape that it's going to be in. Anybody surprised by what's going on today? As long as we're around the water cooler, Peter Sampson, Alabama Adriana. Anybody surprised, or let me just say this, what are you most surprised at when it comes to the news developments today regarding the college football season? For those just tuning in, the Big Ten Conference followed the Ivy League by announcing today that they are not going to play non-conference games. The ACC is following suit saying, hey, we're not going to play our non-conference games either. They're going conference only in the ACC. The Pac-12 and Big 12 will eventually get there. So will the SEC. But what's the most surprising thing about it? Alabama, Adriana, Peter, weigh in.
I think the most surprising thing to me is that the Pac-12 isn't leading this charge.
Yeah.
To me, it's got to be that it took until July 9th. I'm surprised that this didn't come down a week or two ago.
Yeah, July the 9th, college football suddenly went, you know what? We're still wearing masks in stores. We're looking around. You're seeing bad infection rates. Ultimately, Schools, there's questions about whether schools are going to reopen. That's happening after college football. Basketball is happening after college football. By the way, Texas reported its first triple-digit day of deaths since coronavirus started. It's not a good development. 105 patients in the state of Texas died today. That is a new record, and it continues a daily trend of new record death tolls that you're seeing nationally in places. So for those of you out there that are crying and bellyaching about your college football season, let's give it some context here. California reports that their cases were up 2.4% from yesterday, 7,031 new cases. That's 296,000 cases, you know, all time. Hospitalizations are up. State of Oregon is setting records. The trends aren't good. And it's basically a statistics test, and the Ivy League passed it. So I think that's the thing that's most surprising to me, that the Ivy League, as it made its announcement, suddenly came out and made its announcement, and a bunch of people who really badly, like, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt if you're somebody who said this, you really badly wanted to be optimistic by not declaring that that was a domino that mattered. The Ivy League members passed the statistics test. That's the thing that's least surprising. The thing that's surprising to me is that the rest of us saw, saw this and went, well, it doesn't mean anything. No, it meant something. It meant that the Ivy League members were paying attention and the Big Ten has followed. A statement from Rob Mullins at Oregon has been issued. Rob Mullins telling Rob Mosley of the Oregon staff there, who is part of the media staff, he is saying, quote, I appreciate Gene Smith reaching out to share the Big Ten's announcement. We've agreed to have ongoing discussions about the options for rescheduling the Oregon home game in our series. So keep an eye on that. They're talking about rescheduling it. I hope they do. All right. That is the Culligan Water Cooler Report, brought to you by CulliganOfOregon.com. I want you to leave it here. 2 o'clock hour still ahead. We'll start with the two at two. My wife will pop in studio. It is sure to be action-packed. It's never boring. I never know where it's going. She doesn't know where it's going. I think that's what...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.